Recorded Books Inspirational presents an unabridged recording of Hidden Places by Len Austin, narrated by Ruth Ann Femister. This work is copyrighted 2001 by Len Austin. This recording is copyrighted 2003 by Recorded Books. The author begins with the following quote by Sarah Orne Jewett. In the life of each of us, there is a place, remote and islanded, and given to endless regret or secret happiness. And now, Hidden Places.
Prologue. Wyatt Orchards, November 1930. They say everybody has a guardian angel watching out for them, but I'd never needed one half as badly as I did after Frank Wyatt died. Frank was my father-in-law, the last remaining Wyatt man in the whole clan. My husband's Aunt Betty put the idea of a guardian angel into my head. She said she'd pray for one to come and help me out. The last time I'd given any thought to angels was years earlier in a Sunday school class in one of the many whistle-stop towns my daddy and I passed through in our travels. Daddy always made sure I went to church if we happened upon one on a Sunday morning. That Sunday, I was in a Methodist church somewhere in Missouri when the little old white-haired Sunday school teacher said we should always entertain strangers, because you never knew if one of them just might be an angel. That's the way she put it. Entertain them. She made me think I had to juggle balls or do a high wire act for them. And I wondered what on earth that little old teacher could possibly do that was entertaining, as bent and wrinkled as she was. So after we laid Frank Wyatt to rest in the family plot beside his wife and two sons, I began hoping God would answer Aunt Betty's prayers soon, and that an angel really would show up to help me out. I'd worry about entertaining him once he got here. "What are you going to do now, Eliza?" That's what everybody kept asking me after the funeral, and I hardly knew what to say. What they were really asking was, "How's a scrawny young thing like you, with three little kids to raise, ever going to run a big outfit like Wyatt Orchards?" Especially since I never even stepped one foot on a farm until 10 years ago. Of course, they didn't know about my past. No one in Deer Springs knew, not even my poor dead husband, Sam. I was too ashamed to tell anybody. But people wondered how I was going to manage just the same. My neighbor, Alvin Greer, was one of them. "What are you planning to do, Mrs. Wyatt, now that Frank is dead?" I filled his coffee cup and handed it to him without answering. Couldn't he see that I'd buried my father-in-law scarcely an hour ago, and that my house was still filled with all the neighbors who had come to pay their last respects, and that I didn't even have time to think? I guess not, because Mr. Greer wouldn't let up.
"Do you have someone in mind to take over Wyatt Orchards for you come springtime?" he asked.
I filled another cup and offered it to Reverend Dill, who stood in the serving line behind Mr. Greer. I tried not to let my hands shake too much. I'd learned a long time ago that if you don't answer right away, most people get antsy and begin filling up the silence themselves, usually by offering you a piece of their own advice. This time, Reverend Dill spoke up first.
"Do you have family close by we could send for, Mrs. Wyatt? I don't believe I ever heard tell where your people are from, exactly."
"You take cream in that, Reverend?" I asked, offering him the pitcher and ignoring his question. He shook his head.
"No, thanks. I take mine black. You're not from Deer Springs originally, are you?"
"No, I'm not." I made myself busy with straightening a pile of teaspoons and checking to see if the sugar bowl needed filling. It was none of his business who my people were or where I came from. This rambling farmhouse with the well-worn furniture...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?